like a fundamentalist in an ecstasy of religious transportation, shaking, mocking a man with Parkinson's disease. It is just like the Michael J. Fox thing all over again, Rush, because all over again, you have proven, not we have proven, but you have proven yourself to be something approaching subhuman. And in so proving, you have proven our point about everything else that comes out of your mouth. Can you act on it? You know, can you stand to listen long enough? Listen to your local affiliate. You know, never mind the national advertisers. You know, wherever you live, find the Flimball thing and listen for a little bit, and you'll figure out what the local availabilities are versus the network ads. Screw the network ads. Call Fred's the Fred's Texaco or whatever down on the corner of State and Maine. Free car wash on Friday. Hey, mega dittos from Fred's Texaco. You get up a handful of people, do a letter to the editor, and start letting Fred's Texaco know that, by God, you will not do business with them as long as his ads appear on Flush Flimball, and unless he denounces the crap that was said in his name during that time slot. Baby, you'll see action. The Swedish Mattress Company or the Bowling Ball Picking Up Vacuum Cleaner Company, one or two calls, not so much. Doesn't hurt to try, but you'll get real action if you call the advertisers on a local basis on a show like Limbaugh's. Because, among other things, the station, based on its size, is having to pay to run Limbaugh anyway. That's right. Most talk radio is done on a barter basis, but for Rush Limbaugh, baby, you pay. I think the little AM station I was affiliated with was paying something on the order of $4,000 or $5,000 a year to run Rush Limbaugh. And that's the fifth smallest radio market in America. What do you suppose they pay to run Rush in San Diego? Or Dallas? You get the point? Sure you do. All right, so it is news time. I roared through the first news break, but I'm not going to do it on the second one. Hell, that was a filibobster of epic, I tell you, epic proportions, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. So we'll take a little break, we'll do a little news, and we'll come back. Again, you know what you're doing. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. A huge rally sent the Dow up not only into positive territory, but to a new high, breaking through the 14,000 mark. We'll have details coming up in our business segment. Last month's figures showed the lowest levels of deaths in Iraq for more than a year among American forces and Iraqi civilians. Military leaders commended Iraqi security forces and citizens for their part in reducing the violence. June 15th saw the completion of the surge of 30,000 additional U.S. troops in the country. A total of 64 American forces died in Iraq last month. Over the weekend, U.S. and Iraqi forces killed more than 60 insurgents, according to the U.S. command. October 1st is the beginning of the Supreme Court's new term. Justices have already struck down a request by suspected terrorists at Guantanamo Bay to receive a trial by federal judges in Washington. Prisoners at Guantanamo are given trial by military tribunal. Police averted an attempted attack on the U.S. Embassy in Vienna today when they apprehended a Bosnian with a backpack filled with explosives. Investigators also found Islamic literature inside his backpack. Some diplomats and witnesses in Myanmar say the street blockades in the country's capital are coming down as the military dictatorship seems to have successfully crushed the latest pro-democracy uprising. Government-restricted internet and cell phone communication makes it impossible to verify witness reports of as many as 200 people killed and 6,000 imprisoned. 20 African Union peacekeepers remain missing after 1,000 armed rebels overran a small base this weekend in northern Darfur. At least 10 AU troops were killed. Diplomats say the attack was unprecedented and endangers upcoming international peace talks. And as of today, U.S. citizens traveling by air to Canada, the Caribbean, and Mexico must have a passport. The law originally went into effect in January, but was extended due to an enormous backlog. There's no specific threat, but the Transportation Safety Agency is concerned about remote-control toys in carry-on luggage. The concern is that remote-control toys can be used to initiate devices in terrorist attacks. A volcano on the tiny island about 80 miles off the Yemeni coast erupted last night, killing at least three. Another eight are missing. Island residents evacuated. You're listening to QNN.
As the world moves to the Internet for marketing, promotion, sales, and communications, it is important to stake out your presence, your business, or yourself in an effective way. The people at Byte Technology know how to define your best self on the web so that people who know you and those who will want to can get a clear picture of who you are and what you have to offer. Byte Technology will design your website so that you will attract new customers and keep your current client base engaged and informed. As McLuhan said, the medium is the message. And never was that more true than in the new Internet commerce world. Whatever your business, selling products or services, to the general public or to a niche market, you need a presence that smart people, the people who make the best customers, can find quickly and understand immediately. Byte Technology will custom produce such a site for you. Byte Technology. See the difference at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178.
The Topps Meat Company is expanding its recall of frozen hamburger patties. Dozens of people have been sickened with the E. coli bacteria after eating the hamburger. The patties are sold under a number of labels and the code EST9748. The Space Shuttle Discovery has been moved out to its launch pad in preparation for its next mission. Scheduled 3 weeks from now, the Discovery will bring a connecting hub to the International Space Station so Japan and Russia can connect labs to the facility. UBS, Switzerland's largest bank, announced quarterly loss as a result of a recent international credit crisis. The world's most important wealth manager, UBS, says it is being forced to write down more than $3.4 billion in fixed income assets. Walgreens posted a nearly 4% decline in its quarterly profits. Higher salaries, expenses, and lower reimbursements on certain generic drug products are being blamed. Last night, the Teamsters and management from the United Parcel Service tentatively agreed on a new 5-year contract. Stock surged today, adding 192 points. Investors seemed to shrug off profit warnings by Citigroup and focused more on the hope of further Fed rate cuts. Light sweet crude is trading at $80.24 a barrel. The Dow closed up 192 points at 14,087. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Five and a half minutes after the hour, I actually got the break right this time. You know, I throw myself for a real loop when I blow off the top of the hour break. Because, I almost ran the hour two intro. Oh, golly Moses. But we're talking a little bit about, in the last half hour, talking a little bit about Flush Flimball and the manipulation of media. So it seems like this might be an appropriate story. It comes from Reuters. Next month, the Chinese government will hold its really, really big major Communist Party meeting. I don't know how they've got the nerve to still call it a Communist Party in light of the capitalist wonderland that China is turning into, you know, complete with all the filth and the pollution and the greed and the. The article from Reuters says, days after banning sexually provocative sounds on television, China has now stopped networks showing saucy advertisements for push-up bras and figure-hugging underwear ahead of a major Communist Party meeting next month. They get ads on TV for push-up bras and figure-hugging underwear? God, that's like softcore porn. Somebody tell the American Family Association. Jesus. Other targets of the crackdown, now this is ancillary to the greater point of the whole thing. Other targets of the crackdown are lowbrow and base, these are in quotes, lowbrow and base commercials for sex toys. Oh boy. Don't tell them down in Alabama. You know, sex toys are illegal there. And those featuring famous people or experts attesting to the efficacy of medicines. You know, kind of like Rush Limbaugh shilling for, you know, Rogaine or Viagra or something. This according to the State Administration of Radio, Film, and Television, according to its website this past Friday. This is a quote. Every television advertisement, management bureau, and television station must strengthen their political consciousness and responsibility toward society. Tian Jin, deputy head of the regulator, was quoted as saying. And it's part of an overall hissy that the Chinese government is having in advance of the big five-year Communist Party meeting that's coming up. Among other things, they've also wiped out reality shows that feature sex changes and plastic surgery. Sex changes and plastic surgery? Gee, it sounds like American television. And banning talent contests during primetime. What, Chinese Idol? I don't know. And it, apparently in recent weeks, they've really, really ratcheted it up. The media watchdog Radio, Film, and Television Administration has urged the country's broadcasters to eliminate vulgarity and bad taste in pursuit of ratings in favor of what they call inspiring content for the masses, imbued with what they call socialist values. Quote, create a positive atmosphere for public opinion, the regulator cited state television head Zhao Weiyang as telling his staff in preparation for the Congress. Strictly adhere to propaganda requirements. Do not... Okay. Let's let this one sink in. Let's put little flashing lights around this one. Strictly adhere to propaganda requirements. Do not rush to report. Do not report impulsively. And make sure there are no mistakes from reports on any large events, Mr. Zhao added. Read that one again. Do not rush to report. Do not report impulsively. And make sure there are no mistakes from reports on any large events. Does that sound at all familiar? Does that sound at all similar? Does that sound like maybe a corporate memo handed down from the vice president of broadcasting to some American medium, some television station, some television network? Do not rush to report. Do not report impulsively. and make sure there are no mistakes from reports on any large events. I think you could take a statement like that and probably find it almost in the same verbatim form at ABC or CBS or NBC, God knows, at Fox. Oh, what was the name of the documentary Robert Greenwald? Outfoxed? They had all kinds of memos like this about how to write about George Bush and how to advance the policies of the Bush administration. And then there's the line about providing inspiring content for the masses imbued with socialist values. Why not take out the word socialist and change it to family values? And say that we want inspiring content for the masses imbued with family values. Doesn't that sound like what Goonie outfits like Focus on the Family and the American Family Association howl about every day? Or Purity in Media? Create a positive atmosphere for public opinion. Yeah, okay. The whole point being, and I'm not trying to beat you over the head with anything, that there's no difference between the Chinese government's wants and desires with regard to media and those of the corporate owners of American media today. Do you think for an instant that a Republican or a right-winger wouldn't shut down what we do like that if they could get away with it? If they could figure out some way to do it? Of course they would. I mean, after all, I've called George Bush all kinds of ugly names. Never mind the fact that he earned it by, you know, threatening to veto my kids' health insurance coverage. And, you know, a little update on that. It turns out my kids will continue to have health insurance coverage up into November because of the continuing resolution. But after that, they're still screwed. Because my kids don't need to go to the doctor nearly as badly as George Bush needs to blow the snot out of mud huts in Iraq. It kind of makes you want to scream, doesn't it? Yeah, I have to say so. Pathetic. Just pathetic. Create a positive atmosphere for public opinion. Strictly adhere to propaganda requirements. Do not rush to report. Do not report impulsively. And make sure there are no mistakes from reports on any large events. Sounds like the media mama used to make there in corporate America. And by the way, I should update you, since we're talking about the corporate media versus independent media versus the kind of media that you can build yourself. September's over. And we got a little over the $1,000 hump in contributions, but nowhere near the monthly $2,000. It just is what it is. Now, I'm sure if some right-winger was listening, he's gleefully clapping his little paws. I'm not. We'll keep going as long as we can pay the bills. It's that simple. October has started. We are in a $1,000 hole. But October has started nicely. Before the program started, I saw two contributions totaling $150, so we're only $1,850 away from getting October taken care of, and still about $1,000 away from getting September taken care of. And you know how much I hate talking about this. But, you know, it's about the candor. It's about telling you where we are in the process, and that's where we are. Starting October in a $1,000 hole. And I know how hard you guys are trying. And I've got a list of people who have sent donations, and the only reason I don't put them up on the website or I don't announce them on the air is that I make the assumption that people would be uncomfortable with that. But you know who you are, and you know how hard you're trying, and I'm not aiming any of this at you. I'm not aiming anything. I'm just reporting facts. While other websites out there are telling you that they need $30,000 a month to run a text site, I tell you that we need $2,000 a month to keep the lights on here. And that is exclusive of any of the hosts. And I can't tell you how much it bothers me that I have to say something like that. I so badly want to get to the point where I can set the goal at $10,000 or $12,000 a month so I can write a $1,000 check every month and take care of Guy James's bills and make life a little bit simpler for Joe Vecchio. Pull him back from the ledge a little bit. Our buddy John Fox, Peter Godbold, Dr. Bill, Mark Levine, and keep us growing. I mean, it's really kind of exciting here. I have this amazing young son-in-law who has been working like crazy around here. And we're very close to having an empty building in which to build the new Horn Studios, where we can do video, have a second production bay, all kinds of stuff. Maybe even a separate restroom facility. I know that may sound silly, but when you're 100 feet from the one in the house, it matters. Trust me, it matters. And so it's really cool to look at that kind of thing and think, wow, that's the next step. That's where this goes next. Because we will build audience when we start doing video, as much as I object to doing video. And I only object purely out of my own vanity and the fact that I can no longer do naked radio and I'll have to put on a necktie or something. But then I kind of come down to earth. And I think, yeah, you're going to build a new studio. What a laugh. Because, drywall runs about $10 a sheet. Insulation, flooring, carpet, wiring, lighting, video cameras. Yeah, what a laugh. We'll squeak over the hump on most of September's bills. We ain't going to get ahead. So, I'm sorry. I hate talking about this crap, but, I owe it to you. For those of you who are contributing and helping, you need to know how close or how far, how near or how far we are to accomplishing the goals that I set for us. You tried awfully hard. Bruce Birch jumped into the chair last week, or week before last when I was gone, and mentioned how far in the hole we were, and frankly, we wouldn't have gotten over the $1,000 hump without that. So, there you have it. But, there's so much further we can go, and, we're trying, God knows, we try to do with what we have. But, we are $1,850 away from October's goal, and I guess September was just a lost cause. Feel free to send me an email and tell me to lay off and quit bitching. I understand. But if I don't tell you, you won't know, and then if you tune in someday and there's just no horn there, where's Bob and Agnes? Well, couldn't pay the bill. So, just if it matters, try to help if you can. If you can't help, my God, please don't take the. If you can't, you can't. And I understand can't. I've been at can't. I'm pretty much still at can't. There are people out there that I'd like to, that I'd like to write checks to in my own right that I can't. So I understand can't. and this is not a guilt trip or anything else, anything else along those lines. And I really don't hope, I really hope that you don't think that it is. Okay? Are we past that now? I hope so. A bunch of stuff out there that's worth taking a look at. But we were talking about, you know, we did talk a lot about Flush Flemball fiddledy-diddling with his own audio and editing his own transcripts to try to make it seem like he didn't say something as vile and noxious as he did. And then there's a guy who goes out there and says something that needs to be said, and lo and behold, by God, he gets censored too. I found this over at opednews.com, a great little website. I go there quite frequently. I got a couple other pieces from Op-Ed News this evening. Bless his heart, Rob Call, the editor there, wrote a brilliant piece talking about where people get their information from. He said he was at a peace fair held at the local Quaker church, and he was asking people, you know, and these are liberals, these are progressives, you know, these are decent people, you know, where do you get your information? I said, the newspaper and NPR. And the essay he wrote, he said, you know, that's not a good place to try to think about getting your quality, you know, getting real information. And he said, you know, people need to be listening to progressive radio. And he mentioned our good friend Mike Malloy and a couple other outfits, and said, or anybody there, that, you know, any local, you know, support any local progressive radio that you have. And he's right. And he rather mirrors what Phil, our good friend Phil in Daytona Beach, said in the first and into the second hour. The mainstream media are no place to be expecting to find anything relating to the factual status of the world in which we live. No, you can find good information and good news over at opednews.com. Like this story, Bono speaks out against torture and gets censored. On September 27th in Philadelphia, the Liberty Medal for 2007 was awarded to Bono and his organization, DATA, which stands for Debt, AIDS, Trade, Africa, for their work in fighting AIDS and poverty in Africa. Each year, the National Constitution Center awards the Liberty Medal to a person or persons for outstanding work in advancing the cause of liberty around the world. Mary Shaw wrote this particular piece, and she said that while Bono's entire acceptance speech was quite good, that she was particularly moved when he spoke out against the use of torture. He said, quote, "You do not have to become a monster to defeat a monster." That seems to make very good sense to me. And she said, indeed, very well put. And she said that she wrote the words down right after she heard them, because they were impressive words to her, and she wanted to share the wisdom. But, however, she says, 2 days after the event, I downloaded the official video of Bono's speech at libertymedal.org and discovered that the official video had been edited so that it no longer contains the references to torture or other portions of the speech that apparently were not acceptable to the powers that be. She also says the edited version seems to overemphasize the few gratuitous positive comments that Bono made regarding the current Bush administration. The award, she notes, was presented, interestingly enough, by Poppy Bush. And she said, not being a conspiracy theorist, she began to question whether she'd heard it all correctly the first time. You know, and that's that. Yeah, that's where the world sort of spins around while you're sitting still and you're going, oh, blah, 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 trying to figure out if you're still living in the same world as what you're looking at. And she went over to Will Bunch's site of the Philadelphia Daily News, attitude.com. And finds out that, yeah, that's what happened. His comments got edited, got disappeared, got thrown down the memory hole. Because, you see, in America, we don't need, oh, God, what's the old 19th century slogan, no Irish need apply? We don't need no Bonos coming over telling us not to torture people. We're a Merc, by God. We'll torture whoever we want to. And besides, we done know from Alberto Gonzalez and that other lawyer from the Bush administration, whose name I can't remember at the time, that it ain't torture if it don't cause organ failure near death. You know, I say that phrase and it still makes little chills run up and down my spine. It is not torture if it doesn't cause organ failure or death. Does that do the same thing to you? Does it? I mean, look at someone you love. Maybe you're in the room with someone you love. Look at that person. And understand that if the Bush administration so chose, they believed that they could do anything in the world to that loved one of yours as long as it didn't cause organ failure or death. I work a lot in the kitchen. I have little cuts and bumps and bruises and burns from, you know, being in the kitchen. Not that I'm not careful, but, you know, stuff happens. And, you know, I'm onion cutting. It's just an invitation for, you know, pain and agony, especially if the knife's gotten dull. The biggest enemy to a safe kitchen is a dull knife. Well, that or a drunk cook. But, you know, you hack yourself or you get a little slice or the knife slips or whatever, and you go, ow! And you stop and you think, my God, that really hurt. But it didn't make any of my organs fail. It didn't kill me. And I'm not into this Nietzschean idea of that which does not kill us makes us stronger. I don't think the Bush administration is either, because they're not looking to make the terrorists stronger. They're looking to make them give up information. Torture is just stupid, because it does not yield information that is valid or valuable, because the torturee will say anything that the torturer wants them to say. Sing the ABC song, okay? If that's what you want, it'll make you stop torturing me? Cool. But look at that loved one. Think of all the things that don't kill you, but really hurt. That could be done to that loved one of yours if the Bush administration took a notion, because the Congress doesn't have the stones to make it stop happening. And so Bono says you don't have to become a monster to defeat a monster. And American people can't hear that. Today I read in The Economist an article reporting that over 38% of Americans support some type of torture in exceptional circumstances. My country? No. Your country? Tell me no. Today when I receive this great honor, I ask you, I implore you as an Irishman who has seen some of these things close up, I ask you to remember you do not have to become a monster to defeat a monster. Your America is better than that. It all disappears in the official video, because we can't remind America of what Abraham Lincoln called the better angels of our nature. Is that what it was? Let's go to the phones and see who's with us. Hey, you're head on. Welcome to the program.
Is that me that you're saying hello to, Bob?
It sure is.
It sure is. This is Cindy out in Washington calling in.
How are you, Cindy?
Hey, I'm fine. I like that call you had earlier from that man who was talking about what we can all do, and we should talk to our neighbors in the garden or in the grocery store about what our views are and, you know, how we shouldn't just accept what's said on TV. And I think he's right. You know that I feel that way. I don't have television, and I won't pay somebody to shove propaganda at me. But I've long held this belief that the only way that we ever put a stop to kicking around black people in America was when we brought it home to our own kitchen table and we stared down the bigots in our own lily white cracker families and told them that we aren't putting up with that anymore and you will not talk like that in this house or you get out. And we said the same thing for gay people. You won't talk about people like that at this table or you're out. And I think it's about time we bring it home to the Republicans. You know, it's the only way we can do it is to tell our own family members and our own friends that we don't like the way that they think, that it's bigoted, it's hateful, it's destructive to our nation, and we won't accept it in our homes anymore, and for them to get out. I did that myself, and I've never been happier. And I've written time and time again to every radio station that I listen to, you know, that this is the only way that we can affect a change is at our own kitchen tables, telling people that we don't accept this and we won't have it in our homes. And it shocks people when a longtime friend or a trusted family member finally puts their hand on the table and says, enough, I've had it. I don't believe in this and I won't have it anymore. You either get off this gravy train and be a human being and, you know, change your mind or go live with yourselves and get away from me because I don't like it.
You know, Cindy, that's
it works, Bob.
It does work, but you gotta. I don't know. Maybe because you did it and because you stood up to the beast, you may not be fully cognizant, Cindy, of how difficult that is to do. I'm not making excuses, but that's a level of change that a lot of people are afraid to go into. To look at your loved one and say that.
That's why we have to talk about it, Bob, because it is so scary to actually break the chains that bind you. Those chains of relativity and support and tell people, I don't care if you're a member of the family. I don't care if you help support me. Get out. I can't live with this abusive behavior anymore. Because it is abusive.
Sure it is.
Being a bully and being a bigot and hating your neighbors and wanting to destroy the country so that you can get rich and watch football on Saturday. No offense to football fans. But
guilty as charged.
You know what I'm saying.
Yes, I do.
People that are so selfish that they, you know, that in their time off, instead of doing anything to affect a positive change in their nation or their neighborhood, they sit on their tails and say, look, I worked all week. I deserve a break. I'm watching this TV for the day. Bring me my coffee. You know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
I won't live with it. You know, I just won't live with it. I think it's horrifying. And I gave up a career because I couldn't use my talent to break the constitutional laws of this country. I worked for a contractor in a national security agency program, and they wanted me to work on a program that was using hardware to spy on American citizens, much like they're doing right now. They've been doing it for years. And I looked at what they wanted me to do, and I got sick. I absolutely got sick. And I started, you know, I was so upset because I worked so hard to have that position in my career. You can't get a position like that just by going to college for a couple of years and that's it. You have to train inside.
Yeah, that's a big chunk of your life.
Things that you learn that you can't learn at college, you have to learn on the job. And I finally, after 6 years, achieved what I thought was going to be a great position. And for their way of thinking, they thought they were offering me a great job. But when I saw what I was expected to do, I went, uh-uh, I can't do this. I refused to sign the contract, and I quit my job. I never went back again.
Well, you mentioned, Cindy, calling radio stations and newspapers and the like. When we talk about institutionalized hate coming from the likes of O'Reilly and Limbaugh, I'm not trying to talk down or anything. Do you see the distinction between calling, as opposed to calling the station, turning around and calling the advertiser, and the distinction between the local?
I've been calling the advertisers all my life, you know. And then if I feel like it, if I have any strength left, I'll drop the station a line and say, well, I just enjoyed telling your advertiser A, B, C, and D that I will never buy their products. You know, I do that.
And you know, most of those things you can get along with, especially on the local level. It's not gonna break you not to go to, you know, Fred's Shell station with the free Ditto fill-ups on Friday, because there's a gas station on every corner. We have yeah, we have
had a we had a an letter to the editor in this morning's small town paper. I live in a small town, and it was somebody way out here in the boondocks saying that they heard something on Mike Malloy, and that we should all listen to Nova M Radio and Mike Malloy. And I know that you guys over at Horm don't mind me saying that on your
station. Oh, gosh, no.
So I fired off a letter to the editor saying, oh, thank you for reminding us about Nova M Radio. I listen to Mike Malloy every day, but not until after I listened to Bob Kincaid over at the Horn. And then I started naming them off. And I said, we want some of these programs on our local stations out here. And not that we don't enjoy the local stations, but you're sending us canned music from somewhere in heartland of America from somebody's taped program. You're firing that at us. Why can't we have the taped program that we want, you know?
Yeah.
Or live radio for that, you know? And we're tired of having to listen to Portland or Seattle to get our radio, you know? And what I do, this is the honest-to-gosh truth. I take your programs at the Horn, and I take programs from not just yours, Bob, but I like Billy Shear's programming.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
And I like Mike Malloy's programming. I take as much of that as I can, and I sit here, and I cut CDs. And I put your shows on CDs, and I go down to the mall and hand them out. And the face of them, what I put on the face of them, I just mark with a soft pen. I put your station and where it can be found. I just hand them out at the mall for free. Here's some good radio. Put it in your car. Listen to it.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I have fans that wait for me to come in, you know, on the 2 days of a month I come with the piles of them, and they just snap them up, you know.
I can't tell you what that does down in the middle of my soul, Cindy, because that's... some of that can be life-changing.
I know.
I mean, I'm not sitting here saying
anything. Reach people, and a lot of people don't have computers, and they don't have the equipment. You know, I've even gotten on the internet, and I bought some, you know, these CD players that you pop a CD into them, and they're portable, and they run on batteries.
Yeah.
Well, there's places on the internet where you can buy cheap batteries and CD players. And I went and bought a bunch of those and took them down to the old folks' home and handed them out to the old people with liberal radio.
Oh, bless your heart.
And a mix of their old folks' music that they like, too, because I got some of that, too, that I taped. And they love it, you know.
And, that is just...
It makes you feel so good to make someone happy with good stuff to listen to. People are crying for it.
Yeah, and you're... And it's
crying for it.
You're empowering them, Cindy, and you're empowering yourself. And
I know I'm making a difference.
Yeah, it makes going to sleep at night and getting up the next morning significantly easier, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I affected at least four local changes in my neighborhood. I've awakened the sleeping giant in my county because the people here are real poor. They're just like where you come from, hardworking people that live on about $15,000 a year for the average family, and that's not much money. And, you know, they're just scratching to get by. And, you know, if they are lucky enough to own a home, it's a little tiny rundown place, about 900 square feet, you know. And we all have to share food and clothing. And we have good neighbor funds for heating our homes in the winter. And we try to make sure all our kids have got shoes for fall. You know, mm-hmm. we work we have a lot of poor people here.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it's a good community because nobody thinks they're too good for the rest of them. Everybody helps everybody, and it's a pretty great place to live. But they never realized how the industrial giants move in above all of our activities and soak up the land and put in these huge stinking lumber mills and paper mills and aluminum mills and all this stuff. And how they can destroy our river and turn it into a cesspool.
Yeah, because they never put that stuff in next to the gated community or the McMansions or anything.
They put it in the middle of what they call the Highlands, which is where the poorest people in our area live. And you know, this Columbia River up here is you can't treat it like the Mississippi got treated. You know, they turned the Mississippi into a you know, I know how many big rivers feed into the Mississippi. And you know, they put too much industry on the Mississippi, and they turned it into a sewer, you know, and it won't produce the way that a natural clean river will. And they've all but turned the Columbia into a sewer too. But you know, we have several species of fish that need this water running fast and free, and because Bush backed up all the water to the eastern side of the states where all the Republicans live, to water their land, we don't have enough speed in the water to keep the fish runs going. So the fish have migrated up to Alaska, and we don't have salmon down here anymore.
Oh, geez.
And our fishermen have lost jobs up here because of it. And, you know, it's a tough go trying to... our fishing season right now is shut down for the year. There's no fishing. And, you know,
and that should be going on right now, right?
Right, but we have no fishing right now because there's not enough fish. You know, they run a fish count, and the ladders are empty, and they just can't do it. They just can't do it. But they let the Asian gill netters come in at the mouth of the Columbia with their gill nets, but none of our American fishermen could fish.
Oh, brother.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Cindy, thank you for
huge gill nets set up.
Thank you for everything. You know, you are a supporter of the Horn, and we thank you so very much. And thank you moreover for, you know, for what you you do for you and what you do for others, because those folks that you take CDs to, or you take the CD players to, if it engenders a little bit of discussion, it might extend lives. Just by keeping brains active and thinking faculties active, it might, and if somebody hears one of those and gets a chance to get online or listen to over the air radio and calls in and expresses an opinion, empowering people to talk to each other in this country again is every bit of what we're about. And
exactly,
it's frankly our only hope. It's the same thing that Phil was talking about. You know, talking to people in the line at the grocery store, talking to people across the pump at the gas tank, talking to people at the post office. If you engender a little bit of discussion, you know, it doesn't have to be a flaming war. It doesn't have to be a debate. Just a little chat. You know, geez, it's
right.
Dry. You know, you'd think that somebody would notice. And the next thing you know, you're in a climate change discussion. And that person goes and talks to somebody else, and somebody writes a letter to their congressman, and the next thing you know, they understand that working America is talking about these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Because those people, those people that live on $15,000, $17,000 a year, they're not making the long walk to the mailbox and picking up a welfare check. The welfare check doesn't exist anymore. They're working like dogs, Cindy, and you know it, and I know it.
My husband works like a dog, and this is his day off today, and he's down in the garden bringing in the last of the stuff. You know, we do organic gardening. I've told you about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our harvest time, and we bring in hundreds and hundreds of pounds of wonderful fruits and vegetables. And we take it all out to the shelters after we put up whatever we can for our family. And we've got three adopted families that we help. You know, if more people would turn their backyards into gardens, we could solve some of the cost at the grocery store.
Well, yeah, and we'd also hear a few less stories maybe about some kid getting poisoned and having their kidneys shut down by E. coli 157H7 or salmonella or any of the various other things that are coming out of industrial farming today.
Yeah, exactly. And my husband and I are both disabled with arthritis, so we, you know, like crawl around a couple old people up here laughing at each other because we still see, I don't care how long you've been married, you still see each other as young.
Sure.
When you look at your spouse, you see that person you married all those years ago, you know, because you just love them, you know. And it's good to live with that kind of a feeling towards somebody. But if he and I can do it on this hillside, I know that there's a lot of people across America that can do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Get out in the yard and grow food. And, you know, I've got my grocery bill down to about $150 a month for three people. And that's not too bad.
No, that's extraordinary. And I bet you're eating as well as just about anybody that's going to the grocery store every day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And hopefully, you know, in this next year, we're trying to set aside our nickels and dimes, and we're hoping to be able to build a chicken coop and a greenhouse, and once we get those two things built, we're fixed for life. We don't need the grocery store anymore. you know, because we lived in the Midwest for a while, and we used to raise chickens, and we know all about how to take care of chickens, and, you know, got your own eggs and your own chicken meat and your own vegetables. I mean, you don't need the grocery store.
Nope, you don't.
Period.
Cindy, thank you so much. I've got a couple of people lined up. You know, this is what happens. I babble my head off for 2.5 solid hours, and everybody hits me in the last half hour.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I'll call back another time.
Okay, thank you, Cindy. You take care and have a wonderful evening, and my best to your husband.
Okay,
bye now. All right, let's see. You know, it's always a little bit of a roulette wheel spin because people, you know, they don't wait. Hey, you're head on. See, you did it again. Hi, you're head on. Who have I got?
Hey, Jim, Bob. How you doing?
Hey, Jim. How you doing, buddy?
Fine. Listen, just a quick comment. What an impressive caller your last one was, and Jesus, God.
Yeah, isn't she wonderful?
I've got to admit, that's really quite moving.
Well, you know, it's not, and I'm not by any means diminishing what she does. There's lots of people that do stuff like that. It's this idea that people can help build their own media, can help build their own information structure, can help get conversation and dialogue started. It's the stuff that gets me out of bed every morning.
Well, thank you for that caller, and I'll let somebody else get on the line who wants to get their 2 cents in, okay?
All right. Well done, Jim. Thank you very kindly.
Bye.
Bye now. Okay. Well, we will head downhill toward the end of the program. Just a couple of things to update you on, just as sort of a hit it and move on. Do you remember, I guess, since I was gone 2 weeks ago and last week was about 3 weeks ago, the story of the right-wing federal prosecutor from Florida who got busted in Michigan? Remember that story? He had engaged in what he thought was an online conversation with a woman who was willing to pimp out her 5-year-old daughter. Remember that? And he got busted coming off the plane. He had flown all the way to Michigan to go have sex with the 5-year-old girl that he thought was at the end of the plane ride. Well, he's in prison he's in jail awaiting trial in Michigan now. And a little bit more information has come out. When the man, oh Lord, this is remember when the phony mother expressed some concern that a full-grown man having sex with a 5-year-old could hurt the little girl. He responded, quote, "I'm always gentle and loving, not to worry, no damage ever, no rough stuff ever, ever." And from the cold chills down your spine department, he added, "I've done it plenty. I've done it plenty." Now, down in Gulf Breeze, Florida, where he lives, that has shaken the community to its very core. And so far, nobody in the community has come forward to say that he did them or any of their children. He was known, by the way, as being a fiercely conservative prosecutor, rejecting plea bargain deals and driving cases to trial in one of the most conservative U.S. Attorney's offices, the U.S. Attorney's Office in Pensacola, Florida, one of the most conservative offices in the entire state. When he got off the plane, he had a toy for the child and a jar or tube of petroleum jelly. My Lord. The wife allegedly knew nothing about his proclivities, and neither did his 3 kids. one of whom is a high school senior young woman there in Gulf Breeze, Florida. He's been in the U.S. Attorney's Office since 1980. How many kiddie diddlers do you think he's prosecuted? How many rapes? Hell, how many drug charges? How many times has he stood in front of a judge and, or more, stood in front of a jury and argued that someone should be convicted of a crime so that society could be protected against them? A doll and petroleum jelly. Barry Burroughs said, as a criminal defense lawyer in Pensacola, he said, he had an excellent reputation. He was very businesslike and appeared to be a very good man, no question about it. Ronald Johnson's a defense lawyer in Pensacola. He said, sometimes it was a little eccentric, but nothing perverted or weird. Just a little different. Yeah, I'll say. And where is this on the evening news? Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I've screwed up the entire program. I just realized that. I have screwed up the entire program talking about such silly stuff as poisoned food and the phony conservative talk show hosts and dummied up media. I've screwed up the entire program. Here's the real news. A judge on Monday ordered that pop star Britney Spears' ex-husband Kevin Federline take physical custody of their two children until further notice starting on Wednesday. The judge ordered Britney Spears 2 weeks ago to undergo random drug testing and to hire a parenting coach after finding evidence of habitual, frequent, and continuous use of controlled substances and alcohol by her. Well, there's why you won't find the story of the conservative right-wing Republican former Florida prosecutor who likes to have sex with five-year-old little girls. No rough stuff ever. I've done it plenty. So there's the update. And one last story. One last little nugget, if you will, concerning a lady by the name of Carol Ann Gottbaum, a year older than me, 45 years old, and the photograph looks like just a charming lady. She was going through the Phoenix airport, Phoenix, Arizona, recently. She was from the Upper West Side, New York City. She is the daughter-in-law of longtime labor leader Victor Gottbaum and his wife, public advocate Betsy Gottbaum, who is seen as a possible mayoral candidate in New York in 2009. Now, here's the whole thing's horrifying, and I'm going to try to get to the end of it. Police in the Phoenix airport said that Mrs. Gottbaum was traveling alone and that she couldn't explain why she was in Phoenix or what prompted her to become so angry when police accosted her. Now, this is the reason that the police gave for approaching her. She couldn't explain why she was traveling alone or why she was in Phoenix. Sorry, I seem to have had a bunch of stories this evening where I've been compelled to say, hear that again. She couldn't explain why she was in Phoenix or traveling alone, 45-year-old white woman. Jesus, is this Afghanistan or the United States of America? That one begins to wonder. So they assaulted her, the cops did, and she began screaming, I'm not a terrorist, I'm a sick mom, I need help. They knocked her to the ground, a cop put his knee in her back to restrain her while others grabbed her flailing arms, and then she was handcuffed behind her back and charged with disorderly conduct. They put her in the holding cell there at the Phoenix airport, and there were no less than 7 officers in the office outside the holding cell. She was alone between 5 and 10 minutes, screaming her head off. Then police became a little bit unnerved because they realized she'd been silent for several minutes. They went into the jail, and she was dead. They believe she had somehow become strangled on her handcuffs. Police claim she apparently strangled herself while trying to escape from the handcuffs in a holding cell at Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport. I'm not a terrorist. I'm a sick mom. I need help. I'm not a terrorist. Ma'am, what are you doing in Phoenix? Why are you traveling alone? I'm not a terrorist. I'm a sick mom. Well, now she's a dead mom. Because America is a coward nation, a terrified nation, a sick nation. In which a white woman may not travel alone. I say white woman for a reason. Because, you know, we can't have our women folk traveling alone. She couldn't explain what she was doing in Phoenix. She'd missed the plane to Tucson. Women do not travel alone in America because women traveling alone might be dangerous. I saved this story for the end so that I wouldn't scream. Thanks, everybody, for jumping in and participating however you did. We certainly do appreciate it, all of us here at the Horn. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your phone calls. Thank you for participating in the chat room. I hope you enjoy whatever it is you do while you listen to the Horn programming. And, of course, always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.